So today we want to take a look at, focus on Lent and focus on Good Friday and Easter Sunday coming up. Sometime back I picked up a book. It's called The Way of Letting Go by Wilma Dirksen. And in the introduction to this book, she had Malcolm Gladwell give the introduction. And Malcolm, in his introduction of this book, talks about visiting a person by the name of Mike Reynolds in California. Mike Reynolds in California had his daughter was murdered. His 18-year-old daughter was murdered, and as she was dying, he held her hand, and he made a promise to her, and the promise was that this would never happen again. And Malcolm goes on to explain what happened. Mike went to the lawmakers, he went to the politicians, and he lobbied hard for a set of rules that he thought would really help. And you may have heard in California they had for many years a three strikes and you're out kind of law. That no matter what it was, it could be stealing a loaf of bread, it could be something else, and three of those, and you'd have lifetime imprisonment. And you can imagine what this, how this impacted the California, because they had to, support these prisons, and it cost them a phenomenal amount of money. But the undercurrent was simply this: that the crime rate was not lessened because of this. And then he refers to Wilma Dirksen, who also lost her daughter, Candace, in a murder. And the problem was that Candace, they didn't know, they couldn't find her body for a while, and they couldn't find the perpetrator. They didn't know who it was until later. But Wilma took a different journey. She took the journey, and she titled her book, The Way of Letting Go. And as I was reflecting on that for this Lent season, I thought, that's what the way of the cross is. The way of the cross is about letting go. And letting go of different things. And so today I thought we'd look briefly at letting go of anxiety and fear. Now there's different kinds of anxiety and fear. There's one kind where I remember traveling in India with a friend, and we were hopping on this train. I had hopped on the train, I was leaving the station, and I could see he was a few doors ahead of me. He had one hand on the railing for getting in, and I could see all of a sudden the station was just leaving. There was just bang, and then it would be rocks on the other side. And so I yelled at him, "Bob, jump on!" And just as he jumped on, the platform went away. And so that's one sense of fear that's really important. It made me do something that was constructive and hopefully protected him. Another time I remember in Edmonton, our daughter was probably in grade 3. And we lived at that time in downtown Edmonton near the inner city. And she wanted to go to a friend's house, which was about 2 blocks away. And I was doing something. I said, "Charlene, you go. I'll catch up to you on the way." And so as I was, as she was going, I started, and I could see her about almost a block ahead of me. And all of a sudden, she stopped at the intersection, and she didn't move, and she didn't move. And so I caught up to her, and I said, "Charlene, what happened?" And she said, "You know, this car with these men in it, something told me she didn't like them." And so she froze there. She didn't go through the intersection. And so in a very real way, her intuition spoke to her, her fear spoke to her, and it was a constructive fear not to go. And I really affirmed her, good for you. You know, you listened to your heart in that case. That's a little bit different, I think, than what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about anxiety and fear and worry that gets in our way. The context is this sermon is also recorded in Luke. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus, Luke arranges it a little bit different, but there are some of the same issues that are addressed both by Matthew and Luke. It seems like Matthew is focused more on the pagans or the culture, the bigger culture that is outside the Jewish culture. And Jesus is focused, and Luke is focused more on the Pharisees. And he begins chapter 12 where he says, and watch out for the Pharisees because the yeast of the Pharisees, because of their hypocrisy. So don't get caught into their system, Jesus is saying. And so we have sort of different focus, but focus on the same themes. And both of them talk about the theme of treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And so in Matthew chapter 5, before we the reading that Nick read today, Jesus has a discussion, and he says, where your treasure is, there your heart be. You can't serve both God and people, or both God and money. And it's in that context that he talks about, don't worry about what you'll eat, don't worry about what you will wear. And Luke does somewhat the same thing. He pulls it in a little bit different way, but that's the same theme. And so I was reflecting on that and saying, what does that mean in terms of anxiety? What does that mean in terms of letting go? And so where is your treasure? The example of Mike Reynolds earlier in my example, his treasure was so much in his daughter that it caused him to make, or he chose to make, these laws so strict and so tight that the consequences did not fit the problem. And so that's one way that his treasure was expressed. The treasure of Wilma Dirksen was different. She recognized the intense loss of her daughter, but she, out of that loss, was able to let go of that, and she had to let go of many things. If you read the book, she had to let go of many elements of her life because of what happened. And what happened with Wilma Dirksen is that it's brought new life. It's brought new direction in working with people who have harmed through the justice and reconciliation process. And so it's important. Perhaps we have many treasures, right? We have many treasures, and because they're hidden in our heart, it's hard to talk about them. But some of the treasures might include the treasure of being perfect. We expect that we'll be perfect. Like, nothing is so important as being perfect. And so some of us, that is a treasure that we hold in our heart. And if we can't be that, have that perfection, we tend to get anxious. And that's one treasure. Another treasure that we might have is the treasure of winning. And sometimes those go together. We just come through the Olympics, right? And if these athletes didn't have some sense of treasure of going for that gold medal, they wouldn't make it, right? And so it becomes their treasure to get that gold medal. Virtue and Moyer, that's what motivated them 2 years or a number of years ago to begin get back into the system so that they could, again, go for that gold medal. And so there is that sense of achievement of these goals that are almost like perfection. Or perhaps the treasure for some of us is trying to please each other, please people. And so we want to please people no matter what happens. And that kind of gets us in a tough place because we feel that if somebody is disappointed, then we have somehow done something wrong. And so it creates anxiety within us. Or perhaps the treasure is trying to do things so we control others, the anxiety. Sometimes it feels like, you know, we have been hurt in the past and we're never going to let anybody control us, but part of that response is controlling others. and it creates a place of anxiety within us. And so Jesus is very strong on that. And for some of us, obviously, what we have is part of our treasure. To have the cars and the houses and things like that. Those are all part of treasure that God that we have. And so Jesus is encouraging us to look at what can we let go of to claim the treasure of God. And Jesus had a parable. He says the kingdom of God is like someone who found a treasure in the field, and he goes and sells everything he has, and he buys that field because the treasure is so important. The treasure is something that they would like. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at here, that anxiety, there's anxiety when our treasure becomes and leads us away from God. Now, that doesn't say, of course, that those of us who love God don't have anxiety, because we do. And this is constant, our constant thing. Where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? And because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And so Jesus is inviting us to offer our hearts to him, because he is the treasure of our life. And then in both Luke and in Matthew, Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious for your life and what you will eat. Think of that for a moment. The Jews, the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion had a lot of things that they could not eat or could only eat at certain times or could only, that were unclean. The pagans, the religion had food that they would offer to the idols, and that was supposed to help them or feed the idol, right? And Paul even talks about that later in Romans. He talks about how to handle that. But here is a situation where both the Jews and the pagans, so to speak, had issues with food. And Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't be like them, because it creates a lot of anxiety. If you don't have the food that's ceremonial, clean in a certain way, if you don't have the food that's been offered to idols, then it's unclean. And so Jesus says, don't be anxious about that. And so I was thinking, food is really important, isn't it? For us, all of us, we're going to have lunch brunch later. Food is so important. Where would we be without food in our lives? We wouldn't be very far. We wouldn't be alive, probably. And so Jesus is talking about something so important as food. You know, food is so helpful in terms of community. Food is so helpful in terms of creating a life that we eat the proper kind of food. There's junk food and there's good food and so on. And today we celebrate, Jesus even included the celebration of communion as eating and drinking. We celebrate his death, his body, and his blood. It's the new covenant. And so food is important, but here we have the focus of Jesus being the new covenant. Jesus being, and we come to this feast together to celebrate, in a sense, what Jesus has done for us. So food has many, many different kinds of connotations to us even today. We have the fear of being overweight, eating too much, right? And there's a lot of anxiety around anorexia. And some people struggle with that because they're scared of being too big or too having too much weight and don't look properly. And so food has anxiety around it as well. And I'm not saying that here that we're going to answer all these issues just in one sermon, but just to highlight the fact. And also the fact that food, what is made, if it could be distributed properly around the world, there probably wouldn't be a whole lot of starvation. And so we get stuck in a world where political issues create a problem for food to be distributed. And so Jesus is talking, and he says only a few sentences about food. Do not worry about what you will eat. See the birds of the air. They neither toil nor weep. Or reap, sorry, not weep. Reap. But your heavenly Father looks after them. And even using raven in Luke, it talks about crows or ravens. And those were birds that the Jewish people really despised, right? And yet Jesus said, God looks after them. How much more will God look after you? And so that's one element where he says, do not be anxious. He says another one is, do not be anxious about what you wear. Wow. To the Jew, they wore certain, the Pharisees wore certain clothes. The women wore certain clothes. And in the Greek world, there were certain kind of clothes that people wore so you could identify who they were. And today, clothes are very important as well, right? There are some religious orders that wear certain clothes. The Catholic Church has some. The Hutterites, we've seen them in our community, the Amish, and others. They wear certain clothes that identify who they are. And so clothes are important in other religions as well. In the Muslim religion, Islam, some of the women wear certain garb as this identifies their station in life, in Hinduism and so on. So what we wear is important. It does say something about us, who we are. And yet Jesus says, don't worry about what you shall wear. You see, God looks after the flowers in the field. And they are clothed. They have a beauty that's much more profound than even Solomon, who was the best king or the greatest king of Israel. In all his glory, Solomon did not look as good as one of these little flowers. Clothes are also huge in our society today. I saw a documentary on clothes, and the clothes that don't sell at the thrift shop and that aren't given away, they are packaged and go to Africa and other countries. And then they showed some of these clothes being burned because they can't get rid of them either. And so, in a sense, we have an overabundance of clothes in our world. I'm not sure how that fits in with this, but it's just saying that we are clothed well. We have clothes that we use for different occasions in different ways. And so, the thought here is that God embraces us. God cares for us. God values us. So the first point is that where is your treasure? It's a choice of where we move, where we go. Here we're speaking about God's response. And God cares for us. That's the most important point here as we think of anxiety. If we think of anxiety and fear, we recognize that there is a bigger picture, that God cares for us. I know it's easy to say, it's harder to live out. Because we get caught in the food and the what we wear and so on, and the anxiety increases. But Jesus invites us to understand that God cares for us. Don't you know that God sees you? Don't you know that God loves you? And this is one way that he expresses that. So, when we think of anxiety, we realize that we must be cared by God. And then the last part is where he says, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so as we look at anxiety, we also look at the direction we go and respond to God's invitation to seek first his kingdom. His kingdom is so vast. His kingdom is so amazing. It's not of this world. It is of the world of Jesus. And he is the king, and he invites us into his kingdom. He invites us to live in his kingdom and to be important people there. That's where our treasure is. The kingdom has so many different aspects to it. It has something to do with his kingdom coming in the Lord's Prayer. It has something to do with God giving us the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's part of God's kingdom. Living in God's kingdom is to invite to let go of evil and recognize that God is the one who brings wholeness. That's God's kingdom. And so as we come to the table today, obviously we haven't talked about all the different elements of anxiety. We haven't solved all the problem except that it's about direction. It's about investment of our energy. It's about loving God. And there's so much more to anxiety, and even in Scripture there's more. But today, as we celebrate the Lord's table, as we celebrate the communion, the bread and the cup, that we might enter into this in a relaxed way. We might examine our hearts and give to him our anxiety and embrace him who's invited us to be part of his kingdom. And so, Eric, would you come and lead us in the Lord's table?